love of God is probably one of the greatest realities of our existence. If there's anything else that we could think of or think about, I don't think anything is any greater than God's love for us. There's no greater love than the love of God. It matters not who we are, or what we have, or what we do. There's no greater love than the love of God. Somebody took the 23rd Psalm and kind of paraphrased it. Didn't change the word, the Bible at all, not trying to change that, but just kind of paraphrased it for us to understand. And, of course, it's easy to understand as it is. But I want to share it with you, and it's just a, believe it, a real blessing and encouragement. The Lord, and it begins by saying, the Lord is my Savior, and He's all I want. And I want you to know today, the Lord is my Savior, and He is all I want. And remember the little boy, he was trying to memorize Psalm 23. That's the way he quoted it. The Lord is my Savior, He's all I want. As I walk on the King's highway, He walks beside me. He maketh me to lie down in a soft bed at night. He gives me sweet rest to morning light. He bountifully spreads the table before me three times a day. Yea, though I should walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for He walketh with me and will never leave me. He refreshes me many times a day along the way from the wells of heaven. And when we get to the end of the highway, we will enter into His kingdom. And I shall rest and sing for joy throughout all eternity. Kind of relates to us today and what we have. And by the way, we're probably the most blessed group of people that's ever lived. We have more things today than most people have ever had. And I don't know that that's really always a good thing, but it is pretty nice that God's given us many comforts that many people don't enjoy. I remember people that used to go to church and without air conditioning, people that did not have the padded pews and the comfort of being in the house of God. But yet we've come a long way. And I pray today that as we realize today, it's all because God loves us and cares about us. If you have your Bibles, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, be all I read to begin with. The Bible said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Our Father, Lord, we thank You today for the privilege and the opportunity we have to come to the house of God. Lord, I thank You for the love of God. Thank You for loving me. Lord, thank You for giving me salvation, eternal life, that I should never perish. And Lord, today I pray that You would allow heaven to come down today. Lord, that You might walk in our midst in the Spirit. And Lord, You might speak to our hearts and help us to leave here today, knowing whether anybody else loves us, God, that You love us and You care about us. We ask now that You would have Your will and way. We'll thank You for what You do, what You're going to do for us, and we'll thank You now for what You're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray, amen. As the chapter begins, it of course ends chapter number 2, goes to chapter number 3, verse 1, and there's a word there that started that says, behold. When the word behold is there, it means sit up, pay attention, listen to what's about to be said. We want you to understand. In other words, he's saying, take a look at something. There's something very important to be said. So he begins it with behold. But then there's another word there that he uses. He said, behold, what manner of love. And the manner of love speaks of the kind of characteristic of which we are to see. John's trying to say, stop and look at the kind of love that our Father has lavished and bestowed upon us, what He's given to us. God loves believers with a love that's impossible for us to articulate, for us to mimic. It's utterly foreign to normal human understanding and experience. It's a word that we think about today. We think of God's love. It's called, the Greek word there is the agape love, God's volitional love that He, in His own free will, has been bestowed upon us. It was an uninfluenced choice, but He's given us His love savingly to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I think of a verse in the Bible that's of great importance, but the Bible said in John 15:13, and here's really where it sums up God's love. He said, greater love hath no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. And friend, the whole object of God's love is He gave His life. I mentioned this morning about Miss Faye donating a kidney and extending the life of her niece for 17 years. And that was a wonderful thing. And I know that it was a great sacrifice. But friend, I want you to understand today, the Lord Jesus Christ laid down His life. He literally died in order that we might have eternal life. And I don't believe you'll find any greater love than that anywhere. From time to time, I hear of people, I hear of fathers that jump into the ocean to save their children from undercurrents or from something that's going on. And many times, their children are saved and their life is taken. That is the love of a father for his children. But imagine the love of God that He has for each and every one of us. And I want you to consider with me this morning the Father's love. And I want you to see some things that I pray will help us to understand it. First of all, the Father's love is an unusual love. The Bible said in 1 John 3 and 8, the first part of verse 1, He said, "Behold, what manner of love the Lord hath bestowed upon us." You know, why would you say it's unusual? I mean, this, you said God gave Himself and He died in order that we might have salvation and all that to be true. But it's unusual, first of all, because of where it is directed. The Bible said, and listen to this verse in Romans 5, 8, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Now, I'm going to be honest to you. It's easy for me to love my family and to love my children and to love people that seemingly are doing good and doing right and reciprocate love back to me. It's easy for me to love them, and I'll be honest with you, it's very hard to think about loving somebody that seems to be unlovable. I think today that probably all of us know somebody that's very unlovable. It's hard to love them, but yet the Bible said that God's love, while we were yet sinners, while we were rebellious, while we were away from God, if God would have directed His love toward the angels, I could understand that. If He directed it towards some beautiful creatures that He had created, perhaps I could understand that. But friend, the thing that blows me away is God directed His love toward us, and we surely did not deserve it because of who we are. Now, I know we don't like to talk about it and don't like to think about it, but it's true. In the Word of God, here's the description that He gives us today. The Bible said we are wicked from birth. The Bible said, Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." There's not a person that's ever born in this world that is not born a sinner. There's not a person that's not born in this world that they don't need to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and accept Him. But I tell you, when I think of God, why would God love me? I think sometimes in my own life, and I look over the things perhaps that I've done or maybe things that I've not done, and I say, how could He love me? I think of the song, "Who am I that a king would bleed and die for?" And I think about how God could love me as wicked as I was, but His love was directed not toward the angels and not toward beautiful creatures, but His love was directed to everybody that is born in this world who is born a sinner. Not only that, but we were willful sinners. We were lawbreakers, if you would. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, just look down a few verses in verse 4 of our text. He said, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." In other words, not only were we wicked sinners, but we were willful sinners. The Bible said, "Whoso committeth sin," and I believe today that all would have to admit, I just told you, the Bible said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So all of us at some point in our life have transgressed the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. We're wicked, we're willful, and we're wanton. The word wanton is lustful or malicious or licentious. In other words, we're born in this world, and I know the world today wants to tell us how good we are, but according to the Word of God, the Bible said in Isaiah 53, verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned our own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all." Now, just, you know, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I want you to know where we're going. We're talking about God's love. We're talking about how bad we are and how willful and wanting and wicked we are, and we understand that. But we're grateful today that God loved us enough that He took our sin upon Himself in order that we might have eternal life. All the attempts at goodness that we do will horribly fall. The Bible said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I think today how we can try our best to get in good standing with God. But the Bible said in Isaiah 64:6, and understand this is the Bible. He said, all our righteousness are as filthy rags and do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Somebody said, I don't want to hear how bad I am. Friend, I'm telling you, you got to understand how bad you are before you can experience the love that God has for you. And I've often said this, sometimes before a person can get saved, you got to make them understand they're lost. And we're born in this world, but the good news is Christ's death is the highest manifestation of the love for us. What is it? It was directed, but how was it demanded? Love gives and sacrifices. The more a person loves, the more he'll give. Kind of like, you know, maybe when you started dating and, you know, you was going along, boy, you just can't do enough for them. It's because you love them, and the more you love them, the more you want to help them, you want to provide for them, and you want to give to them. Friend, Christ loved us enough that He was willing to give Himself in order that we might be saved. I wish today that everybody could understand that everybody can go to heaven. The Bible says all have sinned, but it also says whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We were rebellious and despicable, but Christ died for us. I'd venture to say today that many of you are faithful and God's blessed you. And I would hope I would help anybody. But I tell you what, I would be more drawn to help somebody that seems to be helping themselves and doing what is right. But yet, God's love is demonstrated to a people that was wicked, away from God, didn't love Him. And there's some of them that still don't love Him. He gave the perfect sacrifice in 1 Peter 2:21-24. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in His steps. Who did no sin, this talking about God, neither was guile found in His mouth, who when He reviled, reviled not again, and when He suffered, He threatened not, but committeth Himself to Him that judgeth righteously, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness. By those stripes were ye healed. It was a perfect sacrifice. It was without spot. It was without blemish. It was a precious sacrifice. In 1 Peter 1:18-19, for as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but listen, with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish, without spot. Friend, Jesus Christ, the perfect man that ever walked on this earth, died for a wicked generation of people that had rebelled against Him. Not only was it precious, but it was pleasing. Isaiah 53:10-11, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. When thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin, He shall see His seed. He shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. He shall see of the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. By His knowledge shall My righteous servant justify many, for He shall bear their iniquities. I would venture to say that Christ's love for us was an unusual love. An unusual love, a love that was directed toward sinners, people that were rebelling against Him. A love that demanded a perfect sacrifice and a precious sacrifice and a pleasing sacrifice. The Father's love is unusual, but second of all, the Father's love is an unconditional love. The Bible said in the latter part of the verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Now, the word unconditional just simply means limited to no conditions. When I got saved, there was nothing I had to do except just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, salvation is conditional. It's based on what we do, but God's love is unconditional. It's because God loves us whether we place our trust in Him or not. The Bible said, "For God so loved," what? "The world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." There's not a single person ever born in this world that God does not love. He's directing His love toward you. It makes no difference who you are. It makes no difference where you are. It makes no difference what you're going through. I want you to understand today, the condition is you've got to receive Him. Friend, it's a personal thing. It's something that you must do. His love is unconditional. It is undeserved. Friend, you and I do not deserve heaven. I tell you today, I'm thankful that God's made a place. He said, "I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again." But you see, God's love is not just to a certain group of individuals. It's offered to all mankind. He loves everyone, even those that don't love Him, even those that are unloving, unbelieving, obstinate, selfish, greedy, spiteful, and vengeful. God still loves them. And friend, as long as they've got breath, He's still crying out to them. He's still calling out to them and saying, "Repent and be saved by the grace of God." It's undeserved, but it's unearned. There's nothing you can do to make God love you any more or any less. Friend, God loves you with an everlasting love. And the Bible said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon you." Friend, today, all of us may go through life and at times feel unloved. But friend, if you are a child of God, you can believe and understand that God loves you. He loves each person freely. He loves each person fully. He loves each person completely, no matter who we are or where we are. God loves us not because we're lovable. It's not because of anything that we've done, because there's nothing we can do to make Him love us. He just simply loves us because of who we are. And by the way, we are His creation. I tell you today, a mother, father ought to love their children like no other love. And friend, today I want you to understand that we are God's creation. God has offered to us the salvation that we can have eternal life, and heaven is our home, but we have to make that decision in our life as we live upon this earth. And if we reject Him, then we will miss out on heaven and we'll spend eternity in hell. But the truth of it is today, God still loves you. He loves you from the day you're born to the day you die. And you can repent of your sins and put your faith and trust in Him. Even the thief on the cross, in his last hour, he said, "Lord, remember me when Thou comest into Thy kingdom." There's nothing you can do. But you know, God's love is unreciprocated. God did not love us so that we'd love Him in return. In 1 John chapter 4, and you're right there, so you can look right over with me. The Bible said in 1 John 4, in verse number 8 through 10, He said, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation." That word simply just means substitute. To be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, ought we also to love one another? The Bible said in 1 John verse 9, 4, chapter 4, verse 19, He said, "We love Him because He first loved us." But I'm going to tell you something. Even if we never love Him and accept Him, He still loves you. You say, well, if he loved me, he'd take me to heaven. He's offered you a position and a place that you can enter into heaven, but it'll be because you make the choice individually. You don't get to heaven because your parents were Christians. You don't get to heaven going to church. You don't get to heaven being baptized. You get to heaven because you personally realized that you was a sinner and that God loved you like never before, and you put your faith and trust in him. You see, God's love took the initiative. Believers now can love God, and others can love God because he first loved us. And then the Father's love is an unusual love, and it's an unconditional love. But finally, it's a universal love. There's languages all around the world. I've run into people that spoke a language that I could not understand. I didn't venture out much, so I only know English. And it's hard sometimes for me to communicate with people of another language. And there's many languages in this world. But friend, I don't care what language you speak. I don't care where you live. The same application applies for salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friend, today somebody said, well, God's picked out who's going to be saved and who's not going to be saved. That's not true. God in his sovereignty, I know God knows everything. But friend, I want you to know today God's made a plea for every one of us to understand that salvation. I tell you, I like the song that the kids sing sometime. Jesus loves the little children, all the little children of the world. Red, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. I'm glad today that my message is not just for a group of people. My message is for whosoever will hear the word of God and be saved. Ephesians 3, verse 17 through 19, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Friend, today God wants to work through us, that we demonstrate his love to those around about us. We see, first of all, God's love knows no boundaries. It reaches the utmost bounds of humanity. Dr. J. Harold Smith would often say, God not only saves to the uttermost, but he saves to the guttermost. And by the way, there is a song that sometimes we sing, and it's talking about being saved to the uttermost. But friend, it makes no difference where you are. It makes no difference how big a sinner you are. It makes no difference where you were at last night, or where were you at last week, or what you've done. I tell you today, God is willing to forgive you of your sin. If you're willing to repent and cry out to him and call on his name, you can receive him and be saved unconditionally, understanding the experience in his unconditional love for you. He can save a man in upper society. And could I say something? Occasionally, we see people in upper society that get saved. But oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes people that have money or have done well, they never come to that point because they think that money will buy anything they need. And they really don't need Christ. But I tell you, you can go down to a certain area and find people sitting on the street and maybe a wino, maybe an alcoholic, he may be a drug addict. But friend, usually those are the ones that will listen to you as you share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And friend, Jesus died for them just like he died for the rich and wealthy. And friend, I'm glad today that he'll save anybody that comes. But sometimes it's those that are probably in the most dire strait and dire need. Dr. Oliver B. Green used to pray for a prayer before he preached his message. Here's what he prayed. They said every time he preached, he prayed this prayer: God save that soul that is nearest to hell. Friend, what a statement it is. It matters not where a person is. God's love in reaching. In 1 Timothy 1, 15-16, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul said, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. God's love knows no boundaries. Friend, don't ever, I have people sometimes tell me, they said, I'm too bad. God can't save me. Oh, that's the kind he majors on. I tell you today, God can save who he will. God not only has no boundaries, but God's love has no barriers. God's love crosses all barriers, whether it be social, racial, economic, political, cultural, yes, even religious boundaries. He says to everyone today, I love you. No matter how bad you are, or how evil you are, or how sinful you are, God loves you. I often say, I hear people, and I tell you this because it seems to be the trend. People say, I would go to church, but the church has got a bunch of hypocrites. I want to tell you today, there's no greater place for a hypocrite to be than to be in the house of God, hearing the Word of God, because that's the only thing that's going to change his life. And friend, today, it matters not to me whether a man was sitting on a bar stool last night. I want him sitting in the congregation on Sunday morning in order that he might hear the truth of the Word of God. What is your response this morning to the love of God? Will you say no? That's like laughing in God's face. Will you refuse God's love and spit in his face, even as they did as he hung on the cross? Or will you say yes to Jesus and yes to the Holy Spirit? Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. Trust him and be saved. The only person who cannot be saved is the person who fails to repent of their sin and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. I often have people ask me about the unpardonable sin. Preacher, what's the unpardonable sin? The unpardonable sin is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, and rejecting God is the unpardonable sin. For you see, you go through life, you make decisions, but you laugh it off and you said, I just don't believe that's real. I want to tell you today, heaven's real. I will tell you today, hell's real. Friend, today, the only way you're going to get to heaven is to repent of your sin and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. The question this morning is not, does God love me? I hope we've established that. The question is today, do you love God? If you say you're a believer, consider this. Do you really love God? Do you spend time with him alone in prayer? Do you love to take the Bible and read the Word of God and that God has written to us? If you don't, I'm not trying to be mean, but I don't really think you love God. Friend, we love God when we give him our time and give him our place. The Father's love is an unusual love. God's Father's love is an unconditional love. God's love is a universal love. Friend, my question today, has the love of God been bestowed upon you? I don't know your, I always say this, I have no idea whether a person's saved or lost. Simply, they're the only ones that can know that. But friend, today, if I did not know that heaven was my home and salvation belonged to me, I would make sure today, before I left here, that I've experienced the Father's love. It's unusual, it's unconditional, but it's to whosoever because it's universal. And today, I'm going to tell you something. I have enjoyed the love of God now for about 60 years, and I'm grateful today that God saved an old sinner like me. I was unworthy, I didn't deserve it, and I wonder sometimes why God even saved me, much less called me to preach. But I know one thing, God loves me, and I'm glad this morning that I love him. Our Father, Lord, we thank you today for the opportunity and the privilege we have to come together. And Father, we thank you for the Father's love that you bestowed upon us. We become a child of God. Lord, I thank you today for the message. I just think it's important today to understand how much God loves us. Even in difficult times, God loves us. Even in good times, God loves us. I think of the song, "The God of the Mountain is the God of the Valley." Friend, this morning, I want you to know, no matter where you are, what you're going through, what you're experiencing, please know that God loves you. And how precious it is that God bestowed His love upon us in order that we might enjoy the freedoms and the blessings that He's given to us. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen.